Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 17? I just want to speak this morning on a favorite subject of mine is gratitude, thankfulness. And I touched on it a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of the theme for this year for myself. And I pray it's got broader implications for the entire church. But just, I want to speak about what gratitude is and what it means to us and what it means in Scripture. Lori and I were with a couple last night till about 11:30, praying with them, encouraging them, going through hell. And all we can do is trust God, thank God, shine as we heard in prayer meeting this morning, rise up and put our hope in God and put our trust in Him. And the way we can express that is through gratitude and through thanksgiving and praise. So that's what I would like to speak about this morning. As I said, I've talked about it, but I don't want to leave this theme too quickly. It's too important. Do you have a heart of gratitude? Are you a thankful person? Do you have a mindset of just appreciating life and appreciating what God has given to us and given to you? Do you carry that? Do I carry that? I was thinking about my friend R.T. Kendall. He's quoted many times on this subject, but he used to keep a ledger and write down 50 things every night that he was thankful for that day. Did it as an exercise. He was brutal. He would do it. And then the next morning, he would pray and thank God for those 50 things. And he became good at it and did it for years, still does it. And you begin to be thankful for small things. It's not just, yeah, I was healed of cancer and I got $1 million. But I had a good coffee with a friend. I prayed with my wife this morning. I'm thankful for the breakfast. What you begin to find the smallest things to be thankful for. And it changes your attitude. It changes your heart. It changes your relationship with God and with people. So gratitude is a big one. Amen? Are you with me? I have lots to be thankful for this morning. We have a new granddaughter, as Carrie said. That's an easy one. Some of the weirdest things that I'm very thankful for, one is the new washer and dryer that we got. It's a miracle. I was standing in the Home Depot a few weeks ago, and I was looking at these nice machines with the pedestals, and beautiful, and I don't know, anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000 for those. I don't know. I was like, man, ours is getting older. This would be nice to bless my wife. No, to bless our home. Anyway, long story made short, it was Marcy found on one of these sites. A couple was selling their washer and dryer, these big Whirlpool ones with the pedestals and the full-size thing, for $500, and they would deliver it. So I'm like, either they stole them, or they're broken, or something's wrong. So anyhow, we bought them, and they delivered them, and I had to clean them up, and they're like these amazing... We're looking for dirty clothes now because it takes all the clothes we own that we fit into anymore to fill it once and then we dry once. And we're like, is that it? It's over? It's like, but I'm standing there, it's weird, but I stand there and I just thank God. He cares about the details in our life. We can be thankful and we need to be thankful. And so that's my prayer and that's my preach for today. It means a feeling of appreciation or thanks. Okay, that's gratitude. But it's more than a feeling. It's an attitude of gratitude. Oh, that... It's a mindset of thanksgiving. It's to have a mindset, a worldview, that attitude. And I talked about that, about Christ's mindset and the mindset that we should have, the same mindset as Him. But gratitude is a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a choice that we make in life. And so you turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. It's just a story there. There's so, like when I started looking up this word and started thinking about Thanksgiving and going through and even in our daily Bible reading and everything, it starts to all be connected to this. And I think you'll understand when I get going. He said, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I could preach just that. They lifted up their voices. You know, from the prayer meeting this morning to the worship to this morning, you know, everything was about shout, shout, rise, come alive. It was like the command of God was there. And these 10 lepers, I can't help but always remember the guy in Bible school, newly saved, green as grass. He thought the epistles were the apostles' wives. He was, seriously, he's one of those guys. And he read this verse and he talked about the lepers, 10 lepers. And he's like, we need more lepers in the church. That's what's wrong. We need to leap. But these 10 lepers, cried out, their voices saying, and when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Put a circle around that. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? And he said to them, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Can we just pray? Father, bless your word this morning. I thank you for the spirit of praise and worship that's in this house today. We are grateful people, and I thank you that I can speak on this to a choir of people who are thankful. And Lord, I pray that you'd increase that, and we would grow that gift, that theology of our life, of gratitude, to give you praise, to give you thanks in everything. So we pray it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. I would like to think I was the one leper, the one leaper who would have turned around and gone back. It seems incredible that you could be healed of leprosy and not thank God. But then when you started reading the Old Testament, again, going through it this year, you get to the story of the Exodus. God's parting the Red Seas. He's putting pillars of fire and clouds by, you know, and he's providing manna and he's doing these things. And he just took Israel over the Red Sea. Like, he split it. They walked across on dry land. You know, they're singing Miriam's song, you know, some trust in chariots. They're just, and in about 30 seconds, hey, why did you bring us out into the wilderness, Moses, to die? Was better we served Pharaoh, at least we had our onions and our leeks and we had food. We're going to die out here. And it's the heart of man. It's our hearts to respond poorly so many times. This flesh cries out to be number one. And God's challenge to us is to keep a heart of gratitude, to keep a heart of thanksgiving, to just live in that place, that mindset of thanksgiving to God. Changes us and changes the world. So here's the doctrine of gratitude. You know, you might ask, is gratitude a doctrine? And I would say, yes, it is. Doctrine is simply a teaching. And we need to teach about gratitude. It needs to be taught. The Reformed theologists, the doctrine of sanctification, the holy life, they equate with gratitude, with thanksgiving. They call it the doctrine of gratitude. Because a holy life is partly our way of saying thank you to God. It's our way of showing our appreciation to God. And as we are set apart, we are not saved by being set apart. We don't make ourselves holy. It's not a precursor to salvation. We get saved and then God works that holiness into our life. It's his gift. Sanctification is God's gift to us. But then the Bible says sanctify yourself. It's set yourself apart. So what does that mean? It means a lot of things. But part of it is being thankful for what God has done. That's why we live a holy life. That's why we live a pleasing life. That's why we live a life of gratitude to God. And as we grow in our sanctification, as we grow in our maturity, as we grow in loving and serving God, there is this flow out of our life of thankfulness. And when it's not there, when we are stingy with praise, when we're stingy with thanksgiving, we are more, God, why, how, what about me? It goes the opposite direction. And God is serious about this. You know, if you think, go back to Egypt again. Just read the Old Testament stories. He was not pleased with the murmuring and the complaining. You know, they came to the Red Sea, and to the Promised Land. They've crossed. In 11 days, they could have been in the Promised Land, and God kept them there for 40 years. They're murmuring, they're complaining, their rebellion against God. He took them serious. And I want to challenge you this morning to live with an attitude of thanksgiving and how we can do that. So, we're not saved by being sanctified. If sanctification was a cause or the precondition of salvation, salvation would ultimately be by works and not by grace. But if we are saved by grace and not works, where does sanctification come in? Where does this attitude of gratitude, this sanctification, this holy living that we do because we love God, where does it fit into this? Well, some say it's like the P.S. at the end of a letter. P.S. Thank you. Bless you. Sanctification is our way of saying thank you to God. Gratification, living a thankful life, is a way of showing Him that we trust Him and that we're pleased with Him. So, showing that one values the kindness of God is in saving us. That's what gratitude means in the Bible. It's a feeling, but it's more than a feeling. Gratitude is what we do. It may be a sacrifice in that we don't have an overwhelming feeling, but it's something we choose to do. And I've used the example before, you know, about the flesh. Many times you must take this heart and put it on the ground and take a bat and beat it. You know, the heart is wicked. Who can know the heart? Our hearts deceive us. Our hearts can't be trusted. We need a new heart. We need God to come and cleanse us and work from in us. But there's times when we need to take our heart out and just beat it and say, today you're going to be thankful. Today you're going to be grateful. You're going to be grateful for food and for breath in your lungs and for life. And if you don't feel grateful this morning, I'll take you a couple of places where we've been the last couple of days, and you'll come out of there and you will be rejoicing for the wife of your youth, and you will rejoice for the husband that you're living with. You will rejoice for the job you have. I'm telling you. And we need to tell ourselves, we need to beat this flesh into shape and say, today, rejoice. Today, thank God. That's why the scripture Carrie read earlier, rise. It's something we do. It's a choice we make. Gratitude is something we practice. We do. And you say, well, I don't really feel like it. You know, it kind of comes back with praise. People are saying, let's lift a hand. Let's pray. You know, the Bible says, shout, shout. We're singing, shout, shout. But I really don't feel like it. I'd just be a hypocrite. Beat your heart. If you follow your heart if your heart's like mine, your heart will take you in all the wrong places. It's a command. It's a challenge from God. It's a thanksgiving to Him to say, praise you, Lord. You're telling Him, I trust you. Tell Him, I believe what you say is true. I put my life in your hands. That's what we're doing when we thank Him. Do you have gratitude? Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I don't, but we must always be grateful whether or not we feel it. Gratitude shows that we set a value on God's kindness. Do you value what God did for you? Then you'll be grateful. Thankfulness is equivalent to praise. Just think what Jesus said. Was there only one healed? Why is this only this one come back to give thanksgiving and praise to God? Thanksgiving, God equates with praise to Him. Thanksgiving is equivalent to faith. It means we trust God. If you can say thank you to God for your circumstance in everything, not for everything, in everything, it's equivalent with trust, with faith. And even when you don't feel it, you say, God, I trust you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for this difficult thing that I'm going through, because not for this thing, but in this thing, because God, you are with me. God, your rod and your staff, they come for me. You walk with me. I want to be thankful, and I want to keep a thankful heart. Saying thank you is equal to saying, God, you're good and know what's best for me. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You want some good medicine? Tell your heart to be cheerful. Say, well, I can't. You can. You can find things to be thankful for. You can find things to worship God for. You can find things to live a holy life for, to choose to serve God for, because He loves you and because He has a plan and a purpose that's far greater than anything else. And we need to practice thankfulness and appreciation. We need to become good at it. The Bible says this, in everything, give thanks. It's a command, you know. There's many verses. I'm going to get to a couple more. But it's something we need to do. It's something we need to practice and get better at. Some people have got it. You know, you meet people who are thankful. They're just pleasant. They are filled with praise. They are living life. And I've met them in hospitals. I've met them at funerals. I've met them in the toughest situations. But there's this mindset, this heart that says, thank God. I trust him. I love him. I worship him. They're not saying that. They're just saying thanks. They're saying, God, what a beautiful day. What a day. This is a day the Lord has made. The Bible is nothing but it's more than that, but it's a book of praises, of thanks to God for what he's done. And when you've tasted some of that, you've tasted some of the goodness of God, it's what Lori shared earlier in the service, it comes out. It's that fire that shines out of your life. God is good, and he's faithful. So number one, it's a command. Psalm 50, verse 14. I know you have all these scriptures memorized. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. I like that. So when I don't feel like it, I don't feel necessarily every Sunday like giving tithes and offerings, but I give it because I love God. I don't necessarily feel like, today I felt like it. Today I felt like worshiping. It was easy to worship today. There's times when it's just, and there's times when it's like, offer a sacrifice. My friend Ken Solbrecken used to say, until it burns in your shoulders, keep your arms up. And when it's burning in your shoulders, keep them a little longer. And let it be a sacrifice of praise. Not just sort of a, you know, okay, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's like, no, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it like an offering that's worthy of God. And one day we're going to be in heaven, and you better be good at it, because I don't know, for the first couple a billion years, it might be quite loud. I don't know. And then after that, you may be able to talk to somebody. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be a place in the Revelation talks about it, like full of praise and bowing and worship and loving and serving God. Might as well get good at it now. And then he says it's his will in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know the will of God? I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Okay, let's go here. Rejoice always. Get that right. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstance. That's the will of God. So for no other reason than that, do it. Let's give thanks. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. You know, and I thank God for amazing worship people we have. I thank God for the folk in this church who lift us up. And it's like they pull us out of the pit every Sunday morning. You know, we could just, and sometimes like I said, when I come in, I feel like worshiping. Sometimes I need somebody to just pull me up and say, come on, you're not a cripple. You can worship. And you start to lift your heart and your mind and your thoughts towards God and you start thanking him, it's like something changes in your spirit. And when we do it together, I have to be honest, this morning being here at the front, what I love the most, and I've said this hundreds of times, maybe not, but I think so. I was going to say thousands, but I'm trying to not be evangelistic. But I used to say it a lot in Pretoria. When you hear the praise coming from the back of the church this way, there's just something good about that. For me, it's like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're trying to encourage people, and then I don't know, when the Spirit of God moves and people start to worship, and I don't even know who's doing it. You're worshiping, you're shouting, there's something coming this way. I'm telling you, it lifts the whole place. Encourage you to be thankful, encourage you to be filled with praise, thinking what God has done for us this week, what God's done for us today, what he's going to do for us in the days to come, whatever. It's a skill we can learn, a secret life others don't have. And I use Philippians 4, verse 12 to 13. It says this, I know how to be brought low. I think we can all kind of relate to that one. I know, this is Paul, he says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He learned something. And it's not about his circumstances. It's way beyond that. It's about Christ in him. It's about God, the one of glory who lives in us and who fills everything. And he's my everything. It's the songs we are singing all morning. He learned the secret of that. He knew something that others didn't know. You know, we have quite a few Tanzanian friends here. When we first moved to Tanzania, there were some villages like Omurushaka up towards Kagera. And we would be driving down the road, and it was 1984, and there was no petrol in the whole country for a long time, the Walunguzi and the whole thing. And it's hard to explain unless you're there. And I would see these little kids come out from the banana plantations, the huts, and wherever they were, and they come, and they are singing and cheering. And I'm like, I have to be honest, I used to say it to the Lord, why are they singing? Why are they smiling? And then you get to the church, and there's a church full of people, and they're just praising God. I'm like, I'm still chewing on the dust from, you know, I drove there in my car. They walk for hours, and they're smiling, and they're singing, and my attitude stinks. I'm saying, what, how can they smile? What do they got to smile about? And there's just like joy of God in their soul. They made a choice. They made a decision. They're going to worship God. It's a skill. It's a gift. It's something God is working in us. It's like when the Bible says, sanctify yourselves. It's not to be saved. It's working out that which was within outward. It's when we say praise God, it's not, you're not a fake. It's working out that which God has done and thanking him and showing appreciation for what he's done in your life. And you can't keep quiet. And I'm telling you, when God touches you and heals you and restores things, and we've heard testimonies right here, you cannot keep quiet. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell them about my washing machine. I got to tell them about my granddaughter. They're almost similar. No. I thank God. I look for things. I'm. What's the date today? 1 month. Not doing too bad so far this year in being grateful to God and thanking him. Paul says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I do all things through him who strengthens me. I like that. He's with me. And number four, God appreciates our thankfulness. Luke 17, the text that we're in, Jesus takes notice. There's many scriptures I could go to, but Jesus says, hey, weren't there 10 healed? Why is only this one coming, the foreigner, the Samaritan? Why? Didn't God do anything for you today, for you this week, last 5 years? I don't know. You know, sometimes we can get that attitude of, well, what's in it for me? What's happened to me? My wife's definition or plan to heal depression is to be thankful. Be thankful. You want to come out of hard circumstance? You want to come out of the lies of the enemy? Whatever it relates to, live thankful. Be thankful. So let me give you a couple of thieves of gratitude. Murderers of love. They are killers of thankfulness. And I could use some seriously close examples to home. First of all, comes from our unmet expectations. We're talking with a young couple doing some marriage counseling this week. And one of the chapters is on expectations. And when they're not met, which is most likely, most of you ladies get married expecting your husbands, anything of your husbands. I don't want to incriminate myself. What's that word? You know, self-incrimination. It's not if you'll have them. So that leads to disappointments. You know, most women expect their husbands to be gentlemen. What can I say? Some of us are getting it and we're getting better. But we expect a lot of things from our wives too. I remember, it's always way easier to talk about the wives because I'm the one talking. I remember Lori and I dated for 4.5 years. We were engaged for 1 year. I was pastoring in Swan Hills that last year, and she was finishing university. And so we dated quite long. We were faithful and kept ourselves pure, and we loved God, and we loved each other, and getting to know each other. And I would spend every moment I could with her, and then we got married. And then I'm like, what happened to that beautiful young lady that used to meet me at the door, all perfumed and dressed and so sweet? I thought I knew her. They say love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener, and it's true. It's like, and then she's looking at me. So we have expectations. What are your expectations? What are your disappointments? We have them, and it's coming. And it can rob us of our joy. It can rob us of our thankfulness if we let it. And here's the answer is, what are you going to do with your disappointments? It's how you handle them. It's how you go through them that determines your future. Jesus said, when the flood comes, the wise man has built his house on the rock. His house stood. You know, he dug down, he dug a foundation, he built it on Christ. He's got this testimony, his life, this house is his testimony. It's his relationship with God. And when the floods come, the house stands. It's not if the flood comes, it's when. It's not if disappointments are going to come. It's not if your expectations are going to be, you know, not met. Many times we have all kinds of crazy expectations. Not God's will. It's not anything. It's like, you know, I can plan to be a professional golfer every day. I got news for you. It's not going to happen. I can't quit my day job just yet to be a golfer. You know, I see those guys on TV. It's not right. They're in the most beautiful parts of the world every day. That's a $150,000 shot right there. Oh, I win. Okay, here's $10 million. It's like, okay, I could do that. No, in your dreams. So we're going to face disappointments. Your spouse is going to disappoint you. Your job, God will disappoint you because your expectations aren't based on the right things. And life has a way of settling in and reality and the world and so what are you going to do when disappointments come? The Bible says, in everything give thanks. In everything rejoice. Wow, God, I don't understand this, but I thank you. Which means I'll trust you. Which means I'll praise you. Which means I will glorify you with my life. It will be part of my sanctification, my holy life to you. I will thank you and praise your name. Another one that robs us, so it comes from false expectations are unmet, and then disappointments that come with it. But it also comes from comparing ourselves with others, looking at others. You know, you can't be happy for someone else who's doing well if you're living in this comparison thing. It's like, that'll drive you crazy. Why them? Why are they blessed? What about me? And if we compare ourselves with other people's lives, we'll spend this whole time on earth regretting or missing what God's purposes were for my life. And I, you know, it's easy for me to stand here and preach it, but I can remember different times when we were packing up to go to Tanzania, and we loved the ministry, we loved being in Africa, it was our calling, but I can remember packing up suitcases. My mom and dad had this big hallway down the basement, and we had these 10 great big duffel bags, because in those days we could take 70-pound bags, 2 bags each, so 5 of us, 10 of those, and 5 or more handbags, because you'd have baby and car seats and whatever. And so I filled this whole hall with bags and stuff, and this is my dad comes downstairs, and he's just like disgusted. You silly, you know, I can't say what he says, but it's like, disgusted. And I can remember a few times thinking, God, you know, sometimes it would be nice to have a normal life. You know, go to work, pay some taxes, stay in Canada, do some things. I look around, I see my friends, and they're buying homes, and I'm heading back to Dar es Salaam to Mikocheni B, and we rented this house that was made out of cement. It was about as big as this part here. I thought it was a great house, but we visited it later. It was, I'm thinking. But if you start comparing yourself to people, is what I'm trying to say, is you will live a miserable life. You got to find the joy in God. You got to find purpose in your life from God Himself and meaning here in order to live with yourself and then live with your family and then live with the community and then live the bigger life. And it comes from within. And God gives us that if we are willing, if we'll ask Him. He'll give us a heart that's after Him. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And He'll give us that. And we put our hearts and our treasure in the right places and our things in the right place, our hearts will be there. And He says, I will bless you and I will go with you and I'll walk with you and I'll show you. And if I look back in my life, I wouldn't trade my life for anybody's life. The stories that my kids talk about used to scare people when they came to Canada. They didn't know what to say anymore. They're telling a story about some exciting thing and they say, yeah, well, that's like, and they tell some, and it killed the conversation. How can you compare, you're doing something to that? There's just so many adventures when you travel, when you do ministry, when you serve the Lord. So I wouldn't complain about my life, but there's times when you look at it and you think, man, I look at others with their silver and gold. You can trust me, Lord. Just let somebody buy me a lottery ticket and let it win. That's, then I don't have to be a sinner and buy one. Ah, that's a joke, you guys. Quit comparing yourselves with others. And I just mentioned it, but can you celebrate others' victories? That's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of thankfulness. When someone else has done well and someone else is blessed, and you can come along and say, you know what? I rejoice with you, man. That is fantastic. That is showing thanks to God. That is showing appreciation, a mindset of thankfulness, an attitude that's right before God. So let me end this. Sanctification does not, I said at the beginning, does not proceed, but follows regeneration. Regeneration, being born again, is an unconscious work of the Holy Spirit. It is what produces faith. And so on. Faith does not produce regeneration. Faith shows that life was already there or one could not have had faith. You're saying, what am I talking about regeneration for? Regeneration is that new birth. And it happens. It's a gift from God. And so our sanctification, our setting ourselves aside for God comes after that. It's not something we earn. We don't earn our salvation. But because we're saved, we live a holy life. We live a life of gratitude. We live a life of thankfulness to God, and it follows our salvation. And the fruit of it must be there. I think Jordan had mentioned last week about, salvation brings change to your life. And my comment is no change, no salvation. Like, God changes us. We are born from within. We are born again from above. And following that comes a life of sanctification. In Christ, we are completely 100% sanctified. We are saints. We are saints. Christ in us, the hope of glory. When God looks at you and me, He sees saints. He sees holy people. But then we must live that out now. And not some kind of drudgery and some kind of, but the way we do it, the way we shine, as we said, as we've heard this morning, is we let it out. We show it. And we do that by being grateful. Grateful. For a good coffee date with Jack Osterfeld. Amen? I could go through this audience. Grateful, 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 grateful. Think of it. Think of the people beside you. Think of your family. Think of people who, we had the most amazing meal with Mark and Katie in a log cabin up in the mountains. How many get to do that? I don't own a log cabin in the mountains, but I have a friend who has a friend who has a friend who does. Ha! Are you grateful this morning? Are you thankful to God? I'm telling you, it's the way to live.